And now, your go-to source for year-round fantasy hockey advice, DFS and betting coverage. This is NHL Fantasy on Ice.
It's time to wake up from that summer slumber. It's our sleeper edition of previews here on the NHL Fantasy on Ice podcast. Jay Conn with you. Nick Alberga still has not reported to training camp, but we have Chris Meany, Pete Jensen, producer Bob Bender, all on board today. Going to look through some sleepers, some deep sleepers, bounce back, breakout candidates to get you set for your fantasy drafts out there. Means, how we doing, buddy?
Fired up.
We will do sleepers here in this first block. We'll talk some breakout candidates a little bit later on in the episode. Some very interesting names out there. Some rookies that we could keep our eye on as well. And we'll try to pry Alberga off the beach at some point. But I'm happy to be sitting here talking to you guys and getting pumped up for some fantasy drafts. Means, I want to start with one team that really jumps out to me from a sleeper perspective. Maybe grouping a few players together. Biggest news maybe from the last couple weeks or so, Matt Tkachuk won't be playing for the Florida Panthers till possibly January, which is a good chunk of time. Could we maybe look at a few players in Florida to step up and soak up some minutes? Anton Lundell, Atu Luostarinen, Evan Rodriguez, a few names that jump out. Who do you think could maybe elevate in that lineup and take some of what Tkachuk does and maybe help us out deep in a fantasy draft?
Yeah, I think, you know, Rodriguez is probably a guy that you can pick in your last round potentially, and he's probably the player that does benefit with Tkachuk out of the lineup, because we saw him in the postseason last year get some time up on that top line with Barkov, with Reinhardt, so potentially inside a top six role right off the hop. But I really like Anton Lundell, and how could you not like that line last year that we saw with Luostarinen and Brad Marchand, who just flipped the switch in the postseason? Those three players combined for 57 points and 43 at 5-5. Not sure how much power play time Luostarinen or Lundell will get. Certainly will be on the second unit, Jake, but 18 points in 23 playoff games for Lundell. He's probably one of the most underrated third line centers, maybe arguably one of the better ones in the NHL. So depending on your size, your format, deep league, but that's a guy that I would expect to just get more ice time. And Reese is going to trust that trio again, considering how well they played in the Stanley Cup playoffs.
And how much are we buying into some of the young Sharks, Meany? Obviously, they were exciting. Crunching the numbers from last year, I look back at the Sharks and goals for, goals against, power play. Not great. It felt better, right? It felt like they were fun to watch and everything like that. But the numbers at the end of the season, it was still, I think they had four different eight-game losing streaks. The team still struggled. They're very much still in the early parts of a rebuild. But I think they could be a really fun team to target in fantasy, because I still think there's a little bit of a stench attached to them. I guess if you play with plus minus, that could be really difficult. But a guy like Will Eklund that they got locked up, you know, year two of Will Smith, obviously Celebrini's a name that nobody's sleeping on it anymore. But any of these complimentary pieces in San Jose getting you interested? Will Eklund's a guy I think, to me, is going to fly under the radar. I just don't think he gets as much attention as some of those other young players in San Jose. And he's just carved out a really nice role for himself there in San Jose.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I mean, Celebrini is going to go early, as you mentioned, right? We talked a lot about him last year and just the shot volume that he has. And he checks a lot of edge stats for us over at NHL.com as well. But Will Smith was electric in the second half of the season, especially after Four Nations faceoff. Those two were playing together at 5-5 at times and on the power play. So he's also going to go pretty early. And I think you're right. William Eklund's going to be the guy that I think some people maybe sleep on, right? He's certainly a great playmaker. I don't think he has the shot volume that Will Smith or Celebrini have, but having Eklund inside the top six, an old veteran presence in Tyler Toffoli who can still bring it as well, as a good player to play with. And then maybe Dmitry Orlov gets some time on the power play, can help out that PP just a little bit, some veteran experience on the back end. So San Jose's still going to be, you know, probably a bottom five team, but they're going to be fun to watch. And, you know, I think they're going to score some goals this year.
Anybody who has listened to this show the past couple of years knows that I am a big Will Smith fan. An interesting stat that we found, and you can find all of our digging deep stats, NHL.com/fantasy throughout the month of August with the 32 and 32 series. I found that Will Smith, since January 20th to the end of the regular season, was second among rookies in points with 31 and 34 games, behind only his fellow rookie Macklin Celebrini. So whether those guys are playing on the same line or separately, they'll probably be on the same power play, Jake. And the best is yet to come for that duo for many years ahead.
The Fresh Prince, Will Smith. I look, as much as they could struggle to win games still, guys, and they're still very early in this rebuild, I think offensively they're a fun team to attack for fantasy. So Will Smith, I like Will Eklund. Obviously, a lot of people are going to like Celebrini. Maybe to the point where he gets overdrafted, we can have those conversations as we get a little closer to the fantasy season. Yeah, I'm still in on Celebrini, right? Just it's hard not to. He was so exciting to watch. One possible breakout candidate that I really like going into this year, and there's probably a few of them on this team, a team that was a great story all of last season, the Columbus Blue Jackets. So you could go up and down the list of a lot of good offensive names there, but it's actually between the pipes where I'm intrigued. I'm hearing a lot of Jet Greaves hype out there. It's a very small sample size, but we know Columbus has needed a goaltender for a very, very long time, and if they're going to make the postseason this year, they need someone to step up back there. I know goaltending can be fickle, but Meany, are you buying into any of this Jet Greaves hype? He's a young goaltender, maybe a chance to soak up some starts in Columbus this year.
Yeah, Pete's guy. I really do feel like this is Jensen's guy between the pipes and Jet Greaves. We had an Edge article down the stretch of the season last year. It's such a small sample size, but it was like video game like numbers. You're playing NHL against your 6-year-old nephew that could hardly play. He was 5-0 down the stretch. He had 2 shutouts at .975 save percentage. And, you know, Merzlikins is probably the starter. They're going to give him the benefit of the doubt, I think, game one of the season, game two. But, you know, health has been an issue for him. He hasn't done a whole lot to earn the role. It's not like there hasn't been anybody knocking on the door over the past couple of years in Columbus to push him. And I think that Jet Greaves will push him because of the finish that he had. And, you know, you're right. There's a lot to like about the Blue Jackets up and down their lineup. We saw a breakout from Marchenko, Fantilli. Those are two studs. Sean Monahan flipped the switch last year. It looked like the old vintage Calgary days, and he was nearly a point per game player before his injury. So yeah, Pete, I mean, Greaves is probably going to be a guy that we're talking after drafts, a week into the season, his roster ship will be in the teens, but this is somebody where you could pick up late if you don't get a couple goalies that you wanted to get, or if you're in a keeper dynasty league, Pete, this is somebody that you could consider as well.
And you absolutely know he's going to go outside the top 120, 130. He may even be around like one of the final rounds of your draft, right, guys? And not many people realize how good this Jackets forward group is. They led the entire NHL in 5-on-5 goals last season, despite missing the playoffs. So he'll have that goal support on his side. And it's just that next wrinkle, I think, that can get the Jackets into the playoffs. If you're looking at those fringe teams right now, Jake, you're looking at the Rangers, you're looking at the Islanders, you're looking at the Senators, teams like that, the Red Wings. And then I think that this Jackets team may be the most complete top 9 forward group other than the Florida Panthers in the entire NHL. Wow.
Well, they have an exciting group of forwards. They have a defenseman now that has inserted himself into that Norris Trophy type level, right? I mean, it's hard to win a Norris Trophy when guys like Cale Makar and Quinn Hughes exist, but Werenski did everything he can to put himself in that conversation. They still have to be better defensively, create a better environment for those goaltenders. So, they're not a perfect team. That's why Pete just called them a fringe team, but there's a lot to like about this Jackets team. Maybe less so in Seattle, guys. I don't know. I'm kind of tapped out on the build with the Seattle Kraken, and I think now I'm looking at it, I'm thinking, did they just build an average to below average team here? But there's a couple of interesting names from a fantasy perspective. Means, if I were to throw these two at you, tell me which one you prefer. I have a little bit of interest, I think, in both, but Kaapo Kakko, since coming over from the New York Rangers, getting an opportunity, or Shane Wright in Seattle. Two guys I think we've been waiting for, one maybe longer than the other, but Shane Wright or Kaapo Kakko going into this year for Seattle.
Yeah, so Kakko was on the breakout list, the 32 and 32 that we're continuing to do over at NHL.com/fantasy. And, you know, there was, when he was with New York, he just didn't get the ice time. He averaged 13 minutes per game. He had 14 points in 30 games. He hardly had any time on the power play, sub 1 minute. Then he went to Seattle, and it was the Kraken. They're an interesting team. You just kind of alluded to it, right? There's some pieces on the team that are veteran presence. There's some players like Matty Berniers you expect to maybe take another step. But right away, he was inserted on the first power play and on the top line. He had 30 points in 49 games, 17 minutes per game. You look at the last 3 years with the Rangers, 6 combined power play points. Heck, he had that in basically half a season with Seattle. But one player that I wanted to kind of address here is another breakout candidate is Shane Wright. Like, Shane Wright quietly had 19 goals, 44 points. He was fourth on the team. He led Seattle in power play goals. And from January 1st to the end of the season, he was second on the team in points behind the one player that probably will definitely get drafted in Seattle, and Jared McCann. After that, there's going to be a lot of Seattle players on the waiver wire. So, Pete, I don't know how you feel about Shane Wright, but this was a top pick. He played with some confidence last year. I know he may be penciled in on the third line, but he deserves more ice time. And I just think with his goal-scoring presence, he's going to play himself into a top-six role, and certainly he already showed us that he can play on the power play.
Seattle's a big fade team for me outside of Brandon Montour and Vince Dunn. You know, maybe a little Joey Decord, but he never gets the goal support, even though he's one of the best workhorse goalies in the league. The forward group is just difficult to get me excited about the ceilings, Jake. So I would rather flock to one of those, you know, higher end offenses out there, the deep fantasy teams. One that comes to mind is the St. Louis Blues. When I was doing these write-ups, I feel like there may not be a deeper team from top to bottom. Two strong goalies, four fantasy relevant defensemen, another really good top nine forward group, and a lot of breakout candidates on that list as well. They also added Pugh Suter, who was a nice goal scorer last year. So the Blues are loaded.
The Blues are loaded, and I do like the Pugh Suter shout out. I'd love to see him be inside that top six. Sneaky good over the last couple of years. But Jake, you know, rookies, we'll get to a couple, I'm sure, throughout this show. But Snuggerud, he checked some boxes for me last year. He didn't look like a rookie in seven games in the regular season. He had 4 points, averaged 15 minutes per game. Then in the playoffs, on the big stage, under the bright lights, he played inside the top six, and he had 17 minutes per game. And again, 4 points. So I'm not sure where he slots into the lineup. I know Holloway missed a little bit of time at the end of the season, but I feel like a top six role is certain for him. And maybe alongside Buchnevich and Robert Thomas, who is among the leaders in points in the second half, especially after the Four Nations faceoff. So that's a really good opportunity for a kid who can snipe it. So Snuggerud is one of my favorite fantasy targets this year.
I think a lot of people are going to question if what St. Louis did last year is legitimate. I choose to believe that it is. I think under Jim Montgomery, who I believe is a great head coach, they played their best hockey. And I think what we saw from the Blues in the second half and into the playoffs as well, given Winnipeg that scare, to me, it's legit. I love looking at a young guy like that that's now played high-intensity playoff games and showed well for himself. Yeah. Okay, yeah, regular season hockey is still difficult, but it might feel almost a little bit easy for him after playing those types of games. And then, okay, yeah, I get to go play a bottom feeder team on a weekday in the regular season. So he gave a great account of himself. We did talk Kaapo Kakko when we mentioned the Seattle Kraken. I want to talk the flip side of that because I think a very intriguing team. We mentioned them very, very briefly as almost like a tweener team now, the New York Rangers, President's Trophy winners a couple years ago to miss playoffs. I guess the truth probably lies somewhere in the middle with this team. I kind of look at them as a playoff bubble team, but fantasy-wise with some players out, obviously Kakko being one of them, Chris Kreider gone up front as well. Meany, is there some opportunity for someone to step up? Could we see a Gabe Perreault maybe get an opportunity, you know, past the Panarins and the Zibanejads? Who's somebody we can look at for the New York Rangers this year?
Yeah, Gabe Perreault is interesting. I wonder if he has a top six role. Probably not. You know, you mentioned Panarin and you have Trocheck there with Alexi Lafreniere, who had a bit of a down season. He could be a bounce back candidate. Maybe we get to him a little bit. But Will Cooley, I like to draft players that touch all categories. I want a player who can score, who's going to play in a top six role, maybe get power play time and throw his body around. And I stole this from Pete Jensen. I believe, Pete, you had Cooley as a breakout candidate. The only player in the NHL last year with 300 hits and 20 goals. Like, sign me up for those type of players who had a career season, 45 points, who played a little bit down the stretch with Mika Zibanejad and JT Miller, right? New coaching regime there, which is good. It's a fresh start for some of these other players to prove themselves that they can play. So I really like Will Cooley a little bit more than Gabe Perreault, just because of some of the categories that he touches, Pete.
Right, and also the high danger goals, high danger shots on goal is a big box that Cooley checks in addition to the category coverage. And that's the opportunity at hand here. For years, Jake, there were no spots up for grabs on the Rangers' first power play. This year, it's probably going to be either Perreault, Cooley, or Lafreniere. So would you rather have Lafreniere shooting from the perimeter and not really upping the ante for the unit? Or would you rather have Cooley getting down and dirty and putting in some of these prime opportunities with great passers around him like Zibanejad, Fox, Panarin, guys like that. Like, he could be the finisher if he gets that power play usage. So that's when you look at the ceiling, it's enormous for a player like Cooley.
All right, so from one team in the Rangers that it sounds like we're uncertain if they're a playoff team, let's go to the Edmonton Oilers. We know that they're a playoff team. Back-to-back Stanley Cup final appearances and another year where they just lost players. Evander Kane, gone. Connor Brown, see you later. Corey Perry, Victor Arvidsson, Jeff Skinner. I know a lot of these players didn't do a whole lot, but there's an opportunity inside the top six for players, whether it's Vasily Podkolzin, Isaiah Howard, Hobie Baker winner last year, shoot first mentality, Matt Savoy, Andrew Mangiapane. Like, I know these players may not, they're like, what? Whatever. But Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl, we know that they're going to hit the century mark in points if they have a full season. So other guys are going to chip in here. I look at Mangiapane as like a deep sleeper. 13 minutes per game last year, his lowest mark since 2018. He still scored 14 goals, buried on a Capitals team. He's a former 35-goal scorer. Could he play inside the top six alongside Draisaitl or McDavid? Or how about Podkolzin, who had 24 points last year in a bottom six role? You want to talk about edge stats? 93rd percentile and 20-mile-an-hour speed burst, 88th in top shot speed, and 84th in top skating speed. So he could actually maybe skate alongside some of those top players that Edmonton has. And Jake, I loved his playoff, especially in the Stanley Cup final. He had a quiet 4 points in six games. He had 26 hits. He had 2 games with 7 hits, another game with 5. So it's just, maybe he's not going to be on the top power play. It's almost certain. But just a chance for some of these guys to play with McDavid and Draisaitl. I think the Oilers, some of these players are going to be underrated, and that I just mentioned. Do you have a preference of any of those few?
Well, Mangiapane is one that really intrigues me because he's a guy throughout the course of his career that's, you mentioned it, the one really big season that he had, but he's been able to score and he's mostly had to do it even strength. He's never been a guy that's always been locked onto that first power play. And as we know, probably not going to get that opportunity on an Edmonton first power play that's absolutely loaded. So he's going to have to do most of his damage, even strength. And if he gets a good line assignment, and I'm sure he'll be given that opportunity at some point, he could be very sneaky in fantasy hockey. And I'd even look at a Trent Frederick down the lineup as somebody that could make a little bit of noise that's proven, okay, not a sexy name, but a guy that can score in some greasy ways. And again, could end up with a nice line assignment if the Oilers want to mix it up. Pete, I feel like you're going to be a Howard guy, right? I feel like you're fired up for this college kid coming in, maybe making an impact with the Edmonton Oilers. I feel like you're going to be a Howard guy this year.
I am. There are so many different rookie sleepers out there, and that's why we're including them in this show. I believe we're going to be doing a rookies and keepers episode later on, along with projections and mock draft 1.0. Like, this is only the beginning here. But yeah, when you can pinpoint a guy, especially in the modern era of college hockey, that was dominant. And then, of course, he was traded over from the Tampa Bay Lightning for whatever reason. But it's a big buy low opportunity on his stock, considering he was moved for another team. I mean, Edmonton's supporting cast right now, after all the guys that you mentioned are gone, is pretty feeble. So to be able to get a young guy back in the rotation, I just keep thinking about Holloway and Broberg, man. They were the ones that got away. So, you know, Howard is an opportunity to mend the fences and get Edmonton back on its trajectory even higher.
Meany, we talked about St. Louis, or at least I talked about St. Louis, and the fact that I think what they did last season is very legit. I also think what Minnesota did last season was legit, and they did it with so many players out of the lineup. Kaprizov for half the season, Eriksson Ek for a good chunk of the season, still made the playoffs, and I thought gave Vegas everything they could handle in the first round. I think they very easily could have won that. Now, it's been a while since the Minnesota Wild as a franchise have won a playoff round, but I think they could change that this year. I think they're going to be a really solid team that wins a lot of games, definitely competes in the Central Division, and some really intriguing names to look at. Like, Matt Zuccarello always gets overlooked in fantasy hockey. This guy's been around for 100 years, and he still produces. He's still in the top six. But Zeev Bouyum, a young name there to maybe keep an eye on. A lot of hype surrounding him. And Vladimir Tarasenko. I don't know what to make of the Tarasenko move, but is there any juice left in Vlad? I'm unsure about that one, but anything in Minnesota that gets you means?
Yeah, Z for sure. William, I mean, how could you not like this guy? And I look at the Minnesota Wild over the past couple of years, and one thing I feel like the team has missed and they haven't had is a distributor on the power play on the back end, like a quarterback PP1, right? They've tried some Spurgeon and some other players, but Bouillon actually had a little bit of a taste in the NHL last year. And in the playoffs against Vegas, they gave him some PP1 time. You look at that power play with Boldy, who could score 40, 45, 50 goals, wouldn't shock me. Kaprizov is well over a point per game player. And then Marco Rossi, and good that the Wild just found a way to sign him. And he had 24 goals and 60 points, a really good breakout campaign, 42 goals over the last 2 years, and he played alongside Kaprizov. So I'm interested in Marco Rossi. Zuccarello, you're right, that's probably the trio. He seems to be linked alongside Kaprizov. Those two have some chemistry together. I'm not really sure about Vladimir Tarasenko, Pete. I don't know how much he has to offer as a third line player. He'll be a good role player for the Minnesota Wild, but from a fantasy perspective, I don't think he has it. But Bouillon, playing for the University of Denver the last 2 years, 98 points in 83 games. This is a top pick in 2024. So I think right off the hop, they're going to let him be on that first power play. And Pete, it is a loaded power play. So this guy is sneaky in the Calder Trophy race. He will be a sneaky pick. And I think he's going to have some fantasy asset right off the hop. And I don't think you'll have to have a, you know, high pick to get him, Pete.
I just wonder if Kaprizov stays healthy for a full season, Jake, and gets the 109 points that we're projecting him for, which would be fifth in the entire NHL. Like, Rossi could easily be along for the ride and be like a 75 point player just by association to that. So when you look at all these different young players on Minnesota, and there are a bunch of them low key, I feel like Rossi is, now that he's signed, is an obvious choice to take the next step here.
Well, yeah, I like that that thing's not bleeding into the season. And good work by Bill Guerin, by the way, on that one. He dug his heels in, and I actually listened to him talk around the free agency period around July 1st, and he said, hey, we like Rossi, we got a number, and we're going to stick to that number, and you know, we hope we can get something to work. And again, he stuck to his number, and I guess the Rossi can't budge, because 3 years at what, about $5 million, I think, is a steal for what Rossi did. So good by Bill Guerin and the Minnesota Wild there. Chicago's an interesting team, Meany. Obviously, again, kind of like San Jose in that rebuild. I guess we could say they're a year ahead, although the results just, it's been slow. And year two of Connor Bedard, I know we were all disappointed. You know, he's a guy we could maybe talk about in the bounce back segment of this show. But any sleepers there in Chicago, or is anybody sleeping on Ryan Donato after what he did last year? You look at that back end, is there, you know, someone from that young group of defensemen that can maybe step up and grab a PP1 spot?
I will be interested to see where Ryan Donato goes in drafts. I think he's a good target. You know, he was inside the top 20 in terms of even strength points in the second half of the season, 30 plus goals playing alongside Bedard. And we've talked a lot about some rookies here, and it's hard for rookies to break out. We haven't really seen them, but Sam Renzel is a guy that is a big target of mine. 9 games last year, he was promoted. He had 5 points, 3 of them on the power play. He had 22 shots. He had 12 hits, so he checked a lot of boxes there. And again, it's a very small sample size, but he played 23 minutes a game and 19 at even strength. The only player who had more in terms of per game, Seth Jones. He's not a Blackhawk anymore. We already saw that. He left last year at the deadline. So there's a real opportunity for a young defenseman in Sam Rizel to lead them in ice time and on the power play. And then again, another rookie here in Frank Nizar. Well, I guess it'd be a sophomore. We got a little bit of a taste of him last year too, down the stretch of the season. And quietly, I don't know how much stock you take into this, Pete, but Frank Nizar at the World Hockey Championship actually led Team USA in points. There's some really good players on that team. Tage Thompson was on that squad, scored goals left, right, and center. He was top 5 overall in the tournament in points. And Chicago's so young. He's only 21, but I would imagine second line center, top power play potentially in Chicago. Pete, sneaky top 10 power play last year, thanks to Bedard. So some of these younger players, I know a lot of people are writing off Chicago, but some of these younger players are going to get more ice time, and they're really nice players. Just takes a little bit of time for some of them, and I think Nizar and Renzel especially are really good candidates.
It's always interesting when they lock a guy up before the breakout season. I think you could see that with a couple of different guys. So far, we mentioned Rossi. There's Romanov, who covers categories for the Islanders, still very young. And Nizar for Chicago, signed long-term there to be one of the centerpieces of a loaded young nucleus led by Bedard. So, yeah, I think that that's a great pick for the upcoming season and beyond.
I got a couple I'll throw at you, Jake, and you tell me who you're maybe most intrigued about or someone you want to draft. There's Juraj Slafkovský for the Canadiens. You can include Zach Bolduc in there, former Blue, now with the Habs. I think we talked about Matthias Michelli just for a minute, Bobby McMahon is another guy. There isn't, I know we talked about this, I keep thinking about Nick Alberga and what he would be saying without Marner. Like, who's going to step up? Again, there's an opportunity inside the top six in Toronto, whether it's Michelli, whether it's Max Domi, whether it's Bobby, and then Slafkovský as well, who was playing with Caulfield and Suzuki. Both of those players had good campaigns. It was one of the top lines. So those two in particular, I think we've hit on a lot. Those are two players that I think, I guess Michelli and Bobby, along with Slafkovský, who could have fantasy relevance with just another, I think, increase in terms of usage rate and ice time.
Well, we couldn't leave the sleeper segment means without talking about your Habs. I look, they're a team that I'm very excited about, and it's great to have them in the mix now. I think the league is better when the Montreal Canadiens are, you know, at least in the playoffs or fighting for a playoff spot. And there's so many guys I'm interested in from a fantasy perspective here, but I think it is Slafkovský. I think it's the fact that now Montreal does have a legitimate top line. I can look at that first line and actually get excited. Suzuki, Caulfield, Slafkovský. You know, we're yet to see him have that monster season. And, you know, I do worry about how much he can get that shot off, you know, especially with Patrick Laine on that power play. Still, obviously, a guy that they're going to want to get that shot to. We know Caulfield loves to shoot it as well. So, you know, does he kind of get lost on that power play a little bit at times? But I think he could end up having a massive season. I will let you know, whenever I go to a Leafs game, Bobby McMahon does score a goal. So I'll make sure to let the audience know every time I go to a Leafs game this year, so we could bet the Bobby Very McMahon nice. Goal or fire him up in your fantasy lineup or whatever it might be. But I think Michelli is a guy that I'm certainly going to be targeting late in my drafts, because I think that the Leafs could give him a legitimate shot on the second line at some point. And you know, he kind of got lost there last year, but a player a couple years ago we were really excited about. So Pete, and anybody from that group of names kind of grab you? I think Montreal is just such an intriguing team with, you know, so much good young talent, and I still think some guys that will probably get slept on in fantasy hockey.
Well, I love the guys like Bolduc, who Chris mentioned, that cover categories that are under the radar. Another one that comes to mind, Marco Kasper, for another fringe team in that Atlantic, in the Detroit Red Wings. They cover hits. Slafkovský covers hits as well. So I would lean with those two Montreal guys compared to the Michellis and the McMahons, who might have a decent point ceiling, but if they end up on the third line like we've been accustomed to seeing, what is the floor like? I think the floor is higher for the Montreal guys.
Yeah, and one final note on Slafkovský. He's like 364. He led the Canadiens in hits last year with 194, like Bolduc, right? Had roughly 25 or so in that first game series against the Jets. So again, Will Cooley, Frank Vatrano, these are guys that just touch a lot of categories that I really like to draft in fantasy. When they're not scoring, at least they're giving me four or five hits. So Slafkovský with the 360 hits roughly and 35 goals, it's like top nine in the NHL over the last 2 years. And then just on the way out here, Jake, you know, with Nikolaj Ehlers gone in Winnipeg, I think we touched on maybe Jonathan Toews is an interesting player, but Cole Perfetti is probably in for a breakout campaign because he should take the top spot in the power play that Ehlers had at times last year, right? They'll roll with the top line of Vilardi, Scheifele, and Kyle Connor, have Morrissey on the back end. But Cole Perfetti, I thought he had some really nice moments in the postseason last year as well. I could see him scoring anywhere from 25 to 30 goals. He's kind of sneaky in the hit categories as well. So Perfetti, I would say, is in for a breakout campaign, just like Slafkovský. He's a young player who's most likely going to get more ice time.
Perfetti might be one of my favorites in terms of good player that's shown us something that is now going to get a little bit more of an opportunity, right, with other players out. And I thought he gave a great account of himself in the playoffs as well, playing in those tough games. So I'm totally with you on Perfetti. Have no idea what to do with Jonathan Toews, but I think, like a lot of us, just rooting for him. Glad to see him back in the league. Good story going home to Winnipeg and all those sorts of things. So sleepers, deep sleepers, plenty of names to go through as we get closer and closer to fantasy drafts on this show. We'll throw some more sleepers out there, have some more of these conversations. But bounce back candidates, one of my favorite topics. I think one of the spots you could always find some value, guys that had a disappointing season that you, hey, maybe let's just cross a line through, we'll get a little value on them in our fantasy draft. So bounce backs after a quick break.
Hey everyone, Adnan Virk here to talk about our great podcast, NHL Unscripted, with Virk and Demers.
Jason Demers here. After playing 700 NHL games, it turns out I have an opinion or two.
Whoever's saying trade one of them, you don't know anything about hockey.
I'm on the bandwagon. I'm rooting for this team.
With new guests every week, we will talk about hockey and more.
Can't wait till you watch the movie, because it's the biggest award of her career.
He went into the cheetah exhibit, and the cheetah took a piece out of him, and he came into the ring the next day.
Tune in to NHL Unscripted with Virk and Demers on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get the official NHL app to watch, read, and listen to all the deeks.
All I can say is absolutely wow.
All the sauce, all the saves.
Stop from Vasilevsky!
All the hits, all the snipes, all the sellies.
He scores! Unbelievable!
All the hockey. If it's hockey, it's here. Listen to every NHL game for free now with Apple CarPlay and Android Auto. Download the official NHL app now.
Hey, hey, how is everyone out there? It's Julie Stewart-Binks. I'm doing a new podcast from iHeart Podcasts and the National Hockey League, and I'm paired up with one of my favorite players, the always quotable Nate Thompson.
Hello, everybody. I wore 9 NHL sweaters, and I have story after story to share. And believe it or not, I have plenty to say, and not just about hockey.
Believe me, he does. Energy Line with Nate and JSB is the name of the podcast, and it's going to be, well, it's going to be quite the ride. We're officially line mates, Nate. We're the Energy Line.
I can't wait to get going here. We'll have plenty of folks join us, current players, some of my former teammates, Hall of Famers, and wait till you see some of the connections that Julie has. She has quite the Rolodex.
Okay, we'll lean into Nate's playing experience and tap into our interests away from hockey and try to do what Energy Lines are supposed to do, provide an emotional boost. How do you feel about all that, Nate?
I'm vibing, Julie. I'm ready to roll.
Listen to Energy Line with Nate and JSB on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
One of my favorite topics, one of my favorite angles in fantasy hockey, guys, back here on the NHL Fantasy on Ice podcast, bounce back candidates, Meany. Again, I think this is where you could find some great value. Players that we like, you know, players that have maybe shown us something at previous points of their career that have a down year, and, you know, they drop 2-3 rounds in fantasy hockey, and we could kind of scoop them up. So one name I want to start with, I think this might be the top of any of these types of lists, Mika Zibanejad. Now, look, it was a rough season. It was a rough season for a lot of New York Rangers. I mean, they missed the playoffs. Guys got traded. It was just a disaster. So sometimes in these types of seasons, you just say, yeah, it was a bad year for the team. This is a player that's been a great fantasy file for a while. He actually finished the season strong when he was attached to JT Miller. So maybe if he can get that attachment again for a full season, we could look at a bounce back from Mika Zibanejad. I think I have a lot of interest in him to maybe prove some of the critics wrong. And I think people are looking at him like he's totally aged out, but he's only 32 years old. Now it's, yeah, you know, you're wrong side of 30, but this is, we're not talking about a guy that's like pushing 40 here, right?
Yeah, you're spot on too about how he played when JT Miller was acquired. They moved him over to the wing. Now, I don't know what Mike Sullivan's going to do, but I mean, how could we not like Sullivan, right? And I always look at coaches that have experience on new teams, and then it kind of just sparks other players, whether you're older, whether you had a down year. It feels like you have something to prove. For Mika Zibanejad, he had 32 points in 31 games alongside JT Miller, and he moved over to the wing as a natural center. He moved over to the wing, so could be uncomfortable for certain players, but it wasn't for him. And you look at his points, 62, fewest in four seasons. You look at his shooting percentage, his lowest mark since 2013 with the Ottawa Senators. And guys, he still scored 20 goals. That's a pretty good campaign at the end of the day. So I like Mika Zibanejad, Pete. We talked about the Rangers, whether they're a playoff team or not. And you can tie in Chris Kreider. Chris Kreider is a guy that leaves New York, goes to Anaheim, another player that had a extremely low shooting percentage and still scored 20 goals and has hit the 20-goal mark in 10 of his last 11 years. So those are two players that struggled in New York. One has a fresh start with a new coach. Actually, they both do, with Kreider going to Anaheim and Joel Quenneville, who can help them on the power play, Pete. So those are two players for me that were big letdowns in fantasy and this year could surprise some people.
I think that Anaheim is going to benefit as a collective team from Chris Kreider being there. He may take the jump back to 30 goals. I don't know that I would draft him in fantasy. He does usually cover power play points and power play goals and hits, so there is some allure there. But I look at, Jake, these veteran guys coming into Anaheim immensely benefiting the culture, the wins department, the relevance of all these other young guys, Leo Carlson, Mason McTavish, Cutter Gauthier. I know we mentioned them on the previous show, but this is another one of those really attractive young nucleuses around the league for a non-playoff team that could make the jump this year or maybe next year.
I'm excited to see what they can do. I especially like their crop of young defensemen as well. I know we talked Lacombe on the last episode as well. I think somebody that we're all really excited about to see that could possibly take a step. But speaking of Anaheim, means someone leaving Anaheim that we'd been, you know, very frustrated from a fantasy perspective over the last few years. Trevor Zegras going to the Philadelphia Flyers. Now, no more Torts there, which I kind of would have loved to see Torts with him and Michkov and see how that whole concoction works. Probably not well. Probably some popcorn in the press box if we're truly being honest there. But some interesting candidates in Philly for a bounce back. Maybe an Owen Tippett as well. All due respect to Torts, we know he's been a great coach in this league, but you know the way he ran that offense in Philly, it felt like there was a leash on a lot of these guys, right? And he almost wanted to get them to play this lock it down defensive style when they clearly weren't built to play like that. So I would like to see the leash off. Let these young guys flourish. Let them, yeah, they're going to make some mistakes, absolutely, but let them go out there and show what they can do offensively. So I like Owen Tippett as a possible bounce back candidate. Any interest in Trevor Zegras from you as a second shot, however we want to frame it?
Sure, yeah. And you hope that Rick Tocchet does allow him to play freely, and I'm sure he will. And same with Michkov. And for Zegras, I think it's easy to forget he's only 24 years old. He has two back-to-back 20-goal and 60-point seasons on his NHL resume. The last couple of years, he's been battling through injuries, you know, quote-unquote doghouse, those type of things. But I see him on the first power play. Why not? The way that he distributes the puck and the creativity that he has in his game on the power play with Michkov. I'm not sure if we see those two guys together at 5-on-5 off the hop. I'm sure at moments we will. But he could play alongside Christian Dvorak as a center who is responsible in his own end. He's a responsible player that I think Tocchet will like to see him. So I like Zegras. I'll probably take a couple flyers on him. But you mentioned Tippett. Owen Tippett, for one, is an absolute edge stud. He led the NHL in max skating speed a couple years ago. He's fourth this year, fourth last year in 22-plus mile-an-hour speed burst, and he could rip the puck. And I just think that, again, a new coaching staff there for him, it will feel like a fresh start for him. He's another guy that can throw his body around. One of six players, Pete, since 2022-23 to have at least 75 goals, 350 hits, and 700 shots. So he does a lot in terms of fantasy categories. Not sure where he fits in on the first power play, but again, a new coaching regime, man. It's got to put a smile on Tippett's face because at times last year, Pete, healthy scratch, fourth line. I've seen it all over the last couple of years in Philly with him.
I love Tippett. I'm a big fan of him. Love how he throws the body around. Another bounce back candidate that throws the body around that I don't know that we've mentioned on any of the preseason shows so far, Gabriel Landeskog. What are realistic expectations for this guy? Is he going to get back to 60-plus points for Colorado? Is he going to play with MacKinnon? Is he fast enough? You know that he brings an edge to his game, and he did in the postseason, scored a little bit, also dished out plenty of hits. I think he had like 4 or 5 hits per game in the sample size of the first round against Dallas. So he made a real impact, and people are starting to lick their chops about Landeskog again in fantasy.
I think there's a high ceiling and probably a pretty low floor with Landeskog, guys, but I always like those plays in fantasy hockey. I want to try to win, so if you're going to give me a high ceiling, I'll roll the dice and take a shot on it depending on which round, right? And Pete just laid it out, right? If he gets that attachment to MacKinnon and he's on the first power play, I think the concern, though, is durability, right? Can he hold up over an 82-game season? Does, you know, Colorado entertain some load management with him, something we don't really do in the National Hockey League? Obviously, that's an NBA term. Look, if this was Joel Embiid, right, he'd be sitting out at least half the season. But, you know, it's Gabe Landeskog. He's a warrior. He wants to be out there. He doesn't want to not play back-to-backs and situations like that. So there'd be a little bit of concern from that angle for me. But ultimately, I'm still willing to roll the dice. By all accounts, he sounds like he just wants to be out there every single night and play a full 82-game season. Another team that really intrigues me, this is like a whole team bounce back, but obviously we can select a few players from it as well. The Boston Bruins. Are they really as bad as what we watched last year? And obviously, Marchand's gone now, so it's maybe not exactly the same team, but there is still talent at key positions. They have elite goal scorer in David Pastrnak. Can we get a bounce back from a Lindholm, you know, maybe a Charlie McAvoy? Jeremy Swayman between the pipes, I think, is a really interesting one. Or are you just out on the Bruins and think maybe what we saw last year is actually kind of legit?
Yeah, I think it's kind of legit. I think they're going to have a rough go. I think they're going to have a really rough season. But the players that you mentioned are good players. Like Charlie McAvoy is a really good defenseman. Mason Lowry could break out potentially on that team, get some power play. Jeremy Swayman is a really good goaltender. But this is a team that has a lot of holes, and he's going to face a lot of rubber, and he's going to, you know, he's going to ruin your ratios from time to time. But I do like the Lindholm call quite a bit, actually. This is a bounce-back candidate. He's a sleeper candidate. He's somebody that's going to return value on draft day. He's somebody that maybe you can pick up off the waiver wire if he starts strong, because the way that he finished last year was phenomenal. He played on the top line with Pasternak, that you mentioned, well over 100 points, led the NHL in 5-5 points. How about Morgan Geekie, second in the NHL in 5-5 goals? He played in the middle between those two players, and although Lindholm only had 47 points, Pete, he had 15 in his final 18 games. That's pretty strong. Not going to shoot a lot, not going to throw his body around, but when you're linked to a guy like Pasternak, who Vegas has projected for over 100 points again, Lindholm's going to benefit.
Right. I mean, James Hagans can't get over there soon enough. It sounds like maybe he'll be in college. This is going to be the year of college hockey, so maybe he'll stick around there for a season. But I think that Boston's trajectory starts and ends with him. Unfortunately, don't love what we saw from Swayman last year. Interesting debate among bounce back candidates. Who would you rather have, Jeremy Swayman in fantasy or UC Saros for the Nashville Predators? Predators had some good underlying numbers last year, but were terrible. And I do not like the defense in front of him, especially if there's any injury health concerns with Roman Josi. Your thoughts on which one you'd rather have among those two goalies?
I think I'd rather go Jeremy Swayman personally. I guess it maybe comes down to how you feel about bounce back potential for both of those teams. Very similar, right? Disappointing in Nashville, disappointing in Boston. Can either of them bounce back? I kind of think Nashville might be a bad roster. And I, like Meany said about Boston, I think it's going to be a struggle for them. And that's where I stand on them. As much as I like Saros as an individual, I think there's more potential that maybe Boston can get back to that lockdown, you know, try to win games 2-1, 3-2, which is what I thought they were going to do last year. Obviously failed in doing so, and they were pretty banged up on the back end as well. So I'd be going Swayman there. I just think there's more of a ceiling play. One of my favorite bounce backs here, though, guys, and anytime you see someone drop from 54 goals to 27 goals, you think, okay, what happened, right? Was that 54 goal season just a total fluke, or, you know, are they more of the 27 goal scorer? I'm talking about Zach Hyman in Edmonton. We did mention Edmonton in the previous block, you know, some sleepers to look at, and I think Hyman is a guy that could drop. Now, is he a 54 goal scorer? Probably not. I think he's a guy that scored 50, had a great year. Everything was going in, even in the playoffs that year, everything was going in for him. But I also don't think he's 27 goal guy in that offense as well. I think he's maybe somewhere more in the mid 30s if he stays healthy. Just felt like a weird season for Hyman. And I feel like major bounce back potential here in an offense that should really score a lot of goals this season.
First of all, neither of you guys can talk me into Saros or Swayman. I will have zero shares of either of those players. I would rather take a shot on John Gibson with Detroit. He had a sneaky good save percentage. Just give me Gibson on Detroit's probably a better squad. Not much better, but better. I like the Hyman call. He probably punched above his weight a couple years ago and under last year. Health is a concern heading into this season. Sounds like he's going to be good to go. Again, we talked about the Oilers earlier in the show where, you know, Mangiapane and Vasily, like, there's some players that'll move up and down the lineup inside the top six, but we know Hyman is locked in inside the top six and on the power play. He gets in front of the net. He has those high danger shots. He has games where he has 7 shots, 8 shots, a couple goals. You know, one bounces off his knee and into the net from Connor McDavid or Leon Draisaitl. So I'd pencil him in for at least 35. I think he can get 35 goals. I think he can get flirt with 40, just being inside that top six with McDavid. So yeah, he's a pretty good bounce back candidate. A lot of these players that we've talked about, his ceiling, Pete, is probably the highest.
Right. It might be the highest of anybody that we've mentioned on the show, right? In terms of the chances of him finishing, let's say, in the top 25 overall fantasy players. It's been done before, and it could certainly revert back to normal for Hyman. You could always look back at the Cup final and say, what if, right? What if he played in that series? Would the series have gone longer? Probably. Would they have won the series? You'll never know, unfortunately, but he was sorely missed by the Edmonton Oilers against that loaded forward group of the Florida Panthers.
There's another player who does have a high ceiling, 45 points in 65 games last year, 102 and 89 in the previous two seasons. You know where I'm going with this, Jake? Elias Pettersson.
Elias Pettersson. Yeah, it sounds like EP40 to me.
Right? I mean, no JT Miller there this year. I don't know what went on with those two players last year, but one thing with Vancouver, Brock Besser came back. That's good for Elias. And Evander Kane is there. Some toughness, right? So he's already said he's bulking up. He's amped up. He's ready to go. It's one of those players that I feel he wants to prove a thing or two. And we've seen it before. I'm not sure if I'm completely buying, but this is a player who he does have point per game potential.
Yeah, I'm not sure I'm totally pumped up for it, but I mean, he does have so much to prove, right? And, you know, I think a lot of us were hoping, okay, when JT Miller leaves, all that drama's gone, he's just going to explode, and it didn't happen. But, you know, it's a lot mid-season. You know, could we really expect it just to flick a switch and all of a sudden? I think with a full off-season, okay, reset, new coach, all these sorts of things, maybe we can see that player unlock, because, I mean, he didn't just fluke into those numbers, Meany, right? We watched him for all those years, he's hitting those bombs, and he kind of got away from that. He seems like he's afraid to shoot the puck now all of a sudden, so maybe a little bit of interest for me, but it would have to be, you know, have to be at a certain point in the draft. Pete, and anything on Nashville for you? I think I'm out on the Preds. It sounds like Meany's pretty out on them as well. Couldn't sell him on Saros, but any of those Predators forwards maybe get you as bounce back potential? You got O'Reilly, Marchessault, Stamkos, take your pick of really any of those guys.
I'll stick with the same theme, Marchessault, high ceiling from previous years, you know, high floor with the category coverage. That's the one guy that I would maybe take if he plummets in fantasy drafts to like 150 overall. I'd rather have him than Stamkos, maybe Ryan O'Reilly in a face-offs league, but probably not. So the ship has sailed for me. I will categorize Nashville as the team that, in Pete Jensen's opinion, should rebuild as soon as possible, because we've seen how quickly things can turn around for a team when they do sell at the deadline, when they do commit to the rebuild. And Nashville, of course, still has a pretty good core of superstars to try to retool as opposed to rebuild if they want to.
Meany, anything else from you here on possible bounce back candidates? I still think there's some intriguing names left out there. Obviously, we talked Nashville, we talked Zach Hyman, some of these names. You mentioned John Gibson in Detroit as well. I think you know, when you're looking at goaltenders, a guy we talked, he's been in trade rumors for like 8 years. It feels
at
like
least,
so.
Yeah.
He finally gets a chance to go somewhere else, and maybe there's a little something there left on the file.
There may be. Again, he had a sneaky high danger save percentage. It's all about health, I think, for him. If he can stay healthy, Detroit has been his goalie carousel over the last few years. They need somebody that can give them some stability between the pipes. I wonder if Gavin McKenna is going to rock a cowboy hat and cowboy boots on NHL draft day next year as a future Pred, but not really. I'll shout out Andrei Kuzmenko, 17 points in 22 games with the Kings. It looked like there was a resurgence in his game, 6 points in 6 playoff games on the top power play, and playing 5-5 with Kempe and Kopitar. So he's somebody that's interesting. And Carter Verhaeghe had an 8% shooting rate last year. It's the first time that he had ever been below 13, and he still had 20 goals. This is a guy that I think could get back up to 30, 34, maybe even flirt with 40 that he had a couple years ago. So he is an interesting bounce back candidate. But, you know, Gibson is worth a flyer, I'd say, at the end of drafts.
Final one for me here, Pete. It's Dougie Hamilton in New Jersey. I know we're all looking at Luke Hughes and we're saying he's the next guy, and he probably is. And you know, there's a couple Hamilton rumors out there as well. I don't know if there was much truth to that. If I'm New Jersey, I'm not dealing him unless I get something very, very legit back, because it's tough to find top pairing defensemen in this league. I mean, there's tons of teams that would probably want Dougie at this point. And I think that's a strength for New Jersey if they're healthy going into this year. Dougie Hamilton, Luke Hughes, the whole group of defensemen back there. And I, as much as they do love Hughes, I still think that Hamilton's going to have the inside track to that first power play, Pete. So I think people will sleep on him a little bit. And as we know, it can be really difficult to find value when it comes to fantasy defensemen.
If Jersey gets Hamilton healthy for a full season, Jack Hughes and Luke Hughes healthy for a full season, they could win the Metropolitan Division and nobody would be surprised. Nobody would blink an eye. So I like that pick with Hamilton. Couple other breakout names we didn't get to that I really wanted to rattle off. Mackenzie Blackwood, his performance after the trade and even before the trade. I mean, he's a top five fantasy goalie. I think Meany, right? You have him at like third on the whole list. So extremely high ceiling, maybe 35, 40 wins there. I love Kuzmenko with the Kings, Broberg with the Blues. I mentioned how deep they are earlier. And also Barrett Hayton, edge stats alert, was top 10 in the entire NHL in high danger shots on goal. If he's playing with Paterka or Gunther or one of those guys for a loaded young forward group in Utah, they make the playoffs. Barrett Hayton returns value in fantasy.
Jake Pete didn't mention Buffalo Sabres at all throughout the entire show. Just drop Paterka.
There's the first time.
Jack Quinn, Zach Benson. Keep an eye on those guys. I'd probably go Quinn with his pedigree and what he can do. I'm playing side the top six and maybe alongside Tage Thompson, who led the NHL in 5-5 goals. So there's an opportunity there for a Saber.
Well, not on this episode, but maybe on the next episode of the NHL Fantasy on Ice podcast, we can hear Pete Jensen talk about the Buffalo Sabres. That episode will be coming your way Tuesday, Monday the holiday, Labor Day. So we'll be back at it Tuesday with the NHL Fantasy on Ice crew. This was a lot of fun. Go back and listen to our last preview as well. That'll live right up until your fantasy drafts, looking at the top 200 list, and plenty more previews to come right here on the NHL Fantasy on Ice podcast.